Investing is simple but not easy. I've seen a lot of people, they try different methods, they do different things in investing, but unfortunately most of them don't have a process in place. And even those who have some process in place, they end up spending so much of time doing their entire research and coming down to that company which they need to buy, but still they struggle with making profits. If you have faced this dilemma in your journey of investing, then this podcast is for you. Hello, I'm Vivek Mashrani here, and welcome to this Technofunda Investing Podcast. And today we are going to dissect 5 rules of successful investing which you can apply, think about it, and go to the next level in your journey. So what I'm going to talk about today is starting from how to do the screening process, how you should think about your company research and sector research, how you can scale and compound your money when things are working in your favor, what you should be thinking about in terms of risk management and your exit strategies, and it'll also touch upon thinking about how to build your systems. Yeah, so take a lot of notes, and if you are ready for this, let's begin. So I'm going to be very, very brief and straightforward in terms of the pointers which I'm going to discuss. But here is the first step which you need to think about. So most of the people, when they think about investing as a first step, they randomly pick few companies and they do a lot of hard work. Okay, so they will go to 10 years of annual report, 10 years of credit rating reports, and read a lot of con call transcripts and see the management interview. And after spending, say, 1-2 months, they will find out that this company is not for them. This is a wrong company. They picked it up and they go to the next and waste so much of time. And even if by chance, they get a right company, it is probably too late because you have spent so much time in research. So the key to doing the research is first screen the high probability winners and then go deeper into it. Now your question is how to go about it. So what I do personally is I have 2 different parts in my portfolio. One is core portfolio, one is satellite. So core is where I depend more on fundamental factors in terms of screening. I have my own set template in terms of different criteria, which I look in terms of sales, what is the margin trajectory, what are the competitive advantages, what are the return ratios, and it filters and gives me the list. And that is where the task becomes much easier in terms of the starting point where I can start my research itself. On the satellite, I use price volume action and some bit of technicals. Although a lot of people feel that, technicals is just for traders and all that, it is just a tool, right? So if you know how to use a tool in a better way, it will definitely give you an edge in terms of long-term investing as well. So this is where I get the high probability companies where there is more of a, demand that is coming up. And the part on us is to research how this demand is coming and why, there is something happening in that particular company. So this way, one, you will get advantage over other analysts who are very late and they just jump in before when the news comes out. In fact, not even before. Yeah, so you can get started much earlier. And another advantage is you eliminate a lot of low probability companies. Now you might say, okay, that is fine. We understood the first step, but even then, the research might take time, and I do a lot of 10-year research for annual reports and con call. It might be time consuming, even if I boil down to like 15-20 companies. So here is the thing, so what I use is something called as 4 cylinders model, and you actually don't need to go through the pain of each and everything. Once you have put in big capital, say if you have a 10% of your portfolio and you're holding like 1 crore, 2 crore worth of shares, obviously you need to do a lot of groundwork. You might need to read all the annual reports and everything. But when you are just starting off, when you are just thinking about tracking position, you don't need to do all these things. You need to have basic checks in place so that it gives you that initial comfort to enter. most of the people, what happens is they keep on thinking about, doing the research, and they go into this analysis paralysis mode. And by the time they decide to jump in, the stock is already moved up 2-3x also probably. So the idea is not to get into that analysis paralysis mode and think about the smarter way of doing it and connect the dots in terms of these different items which I do in four-cylinder model. And of course, I refer to con calls, I refer to annual reports, but only within the parameters of my model, right? So I have like the entire framework in place, and I only look at the parameters which I need to fit in the framework. And that is how, you know, even if I spend time during the weekend, like 2 to 3 hours, I'm able to analyze 10 to 15 companies easily in a decent way. I'm not again saying I go very, very deep, but it gives me the idea whether I should, you know, buy that company or keep it in the watch list, or I should remove out of my watch list. So that decision point is very, very important without getting into that analysis paralysis mode. Now, once you have taken that initial position, then the idea is to go deeper, because now you want to scale and compound at a later stage, right? So we'll touch upon how to scale and compound also after this. But the idea is now you need that fundamental conviction once you have, you know, got through the high level framework that, okay, it is fitting in my framework. It looks decent company. The other triggers are also meeting up in terms of screening process. That is where the second part comes into the play, which is company research. Okay, so for company research, what I do is, again, I broaden this framework, but I go deeper into it. So I think about what are the drivers for the sales growth, how the price of that product which company is giving, and what is the volume, how does it affect, whether it is from existing business or they are going into new business, new geography, what is happening in that company. Then I also look about the margin trajectory, what is happening with the margin, whether the margins are going to remain flat or it is going to increase, or there is possibility that the margin might compress also. And then thinking about operating leverage, debt reduction, and all those things. So that is where I go deeper. I connect the dots. I might again read annual reports, con call transcripts, but the very, very selective sections of it, so that I don't need to, you know, go through all the pain points in terms of whatever unrelated stuff they have put in all these things, right? So be very, very focused when you are doing your company research. And even if you are going deeper, the idea should be to build that conviction and look futuristic. One more thing which people do is, or normal people who just start into investing, they just look at the rear mirror. Okay, so they just see what has happened in the past. They get excited about it, and the company doesn't perform for next few years. That is total waste of your time, energy, and research. So think about what company can deliver in the future, you know, how things will improve in future rather than just looking back in time. Of course, history is very important. It will give you the clues about strength of the company, about product of the company, about business model of the company, about competition, about how the sector is performing. But you have to then apply your mind, apply your experience, apply your framework, and then see how this can, you know, evolve into the future. And of course, we don't know the future, but at least it should give you the key drivers which can translate into better performance in future. Yeah. So that is where the second point of company research, the second rule, is very, very important. The third rule, as soon as you have taken that position, initial tracking position, and then you have gone to the company research, you have built that conviction, you are convinced, the time is to scale and compound your money. So the idea is, in your portfolio, any company where the business is getting stronger, most of the times, if the earnings are coming or are going to come, you will see the growth in the, you know, share price also, and also sometimes re-rating of the price to earnings multiple also. So when you see both these things happening, you know, technically you see price also confirming And fundamentally, your earnings also is confirming that the company is getting stronger and stronger. That is where it is time to scale, hold on, and compound. That is the differential between people who do a lot of research but not make money, and people who do the research smartly, how I said, and make money. Right. So if you have done so much of research, you have, you know, convinced about the company, you have done so much of hard work, then just booking profit after 20-30% of rise is not prudent way to do it. So idea is to scale your position in terms of putting more capital as the company is growing, as the business is improving, as the balance sheet keeps getting stronger, and even, you know, the price and the market confirming with your thesis, you should keep scaling it up and keep compounding it. Right? And a lot of people tell me, you know, that till what time we should compound, whether 6 months, 1 year, 2 year, 5 year. So my idea is, you know, you have to build a system, and I'll cover that system building in the last part also, is until your system tells you that, you know, now it is time to exit, you should keep riding it. And you should have a framework of exit also, and you should have framework of how you should scale up, right? But otherwise, you know, if we keep on doing it randomly, our emotions will come in, and we might scale up at a wrong time when it is like at a peak and it's about to fall. And then if we don't have an exit strategy, it is a disaster, okay? So we need to always think about a proper template or proper framework in which you can do this scaling and compounding process. So that is the third important rule in terms of having a successful investing process in place. The fourth one is very, very important, that is risk management and exit strategy. I see a lot of people, they spend a lot of time in what to buy. Okay, so they will research the company, they will probably meet the management, meet the distributors, meet the employees, do a lot of scuttlebutt ground level research also, and go to the AGMs also, listen to the con calls, and do a lot of stuff around what to buy. They will also understand the sectors and what is the market share and everything. Very good, fair enough, nothing wrong with that process. But hardly any time goes into thinking about when to buy, when to add, and when to sell. And that is where risk management in the third part of when to sell comes very, very handy. One, the risk management is there when you are scaling up, right? Because if you are wrong, you don't want to get caught in a very big position. So that is where the scaling up should happen with proper position sizing. And second is the risk management when you need to exit. Suppose the growth was there and now the company is no more growing. Suppose there was sector tailwinds and some event occurred, like recently COVID occurred, and a lot of sectors which were booming suddenly got collapsed, right? So if you have certain events, you need to have a framework. You need to have some exit criteria which will tell you that my fundamental thesis has got breached, I was wrong, or the event has happened and now the situation is different and I need to get out. And most of investors face this problem of loss aversion. So if they are in profit, still they might get out. But when we have just taken the position and it goes down because of an event or, you know, our thesis being wrong, they feel that now let me break even, and they never get out. And the prices keep on falling, the business keeps on deteriorating, and then it automatically becomes a long-term investor, right? So if you don't want to compulsory be long-term investor just by holding the company in losses, the framework you should think about is scale and compound. Be a long-term investor to compound your money, not to hold some shitty companies in your portfolio, right? So that is very, very important step, the fourth step. Now, finally, the fifth step is building systems. So the biggest enemy in investing when it comes is our own emotions. you know, we undergo fear of missing out when things are moving up. And when things are going down, we feel, or niche jayega, let me buy more cheaper, right? That is what exactly happened when March 2020 COVID fall happened, and a lot of people sold out around levels of 8,000 Nifty or 7,500 Nifty, thinking that we'll buy it cheaper. And they were never able to get in into the market. That opposite happens when the market is going up, right? So we feel that this will run away, and we tend to buy in fear of missing out. So the biggest enemy in investing is our own emotions. If we conquer our emotions and you know, think differently than the normal investors think, that will give us a lot of edge. So that is where it is very important to build systems. So have a system in terms of the entire framework which we'll use for taking the tracking position. Have a system in place for averaging up or adding your position. Have a system in place in terms of your risk management and exits, and even partial profit booking if required. And that will give you so much of peace. And what you can do is you can automate these systems. So if you are somebody who is doing job, or you are into business and you are not able to track market all the time, it is perfectly fine. You don't need to spend so much time. I personally don't spend more than like 3-4 hours in a week when it comes to the entire understanding and following my investing process. Because you can do a lot of automations and, you know, keep the triggers which will alert you. You can, you know, use technology in your favor. That is how you will build powerful systems which works in a way you have thought of, but still you enjoy that freedom in your life. Right? And in my community, I actually help people build their own Technofunda investing systems within 90 days. So if you are somebody who is looking for such kind of solutions, you can join my upcoming webinar. I've shared the link below this podcast as well. And you can also note this down. The link is technofunda.co/live. Right. So let's meet live to understand more about it. I'll show you some case studies also in terms of how this entire process works. And if you think it is for you, you can jump on board and you can actually implement these systems and become much more powerful in terms of how you invest in your own journey. Yeah, so if you are listening this on Apple Podcasts, please feel free to put a 5-star review if you liked this podcast. And most importantly, if you have not yet thought about building systems, please make sure you follow these 5 principles, the rules which I've shared with all of you, and make sure you try to have the entire template in place so that you don't do a lot of hard work without getting any results. The key is to do smart work, minimize your time into investing and get great results, right? And that will happen only when you build systems, you build processes, you have automations in place, and you have a framework in place for your research process as well. Yeah, so hope this podcast was useful. And there are a lot of other interesting podcasts on this channel. So just check it out. And I'm sure it will add a lot of value for your investing journey. And may your investing journey be fruitful. So with that note, thank you for listening. Vivek Mashrani here, signing off from Technofunda Investing Podcast. Keep listening, keep learning.